Well, over the last months, it's felt like we've been in the book of 1 Peter. I think for one reason or another, I've dipped into it for various reasons, and we're back in it this morning. Not accidentally. There is a reason for doing that, particularly at this time of year. And I want to focus this morning just in a one-off sermon on one verse, and that is 1 Peter 2, verse 2, where Peter, under the Holy Spirit, says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Just over a week ago, many people would have made New Year's resolutions. All kinds of resolutions. Perhaps you would have read about those. Apparently a YouGov poll said that the top is saving money, and then most of the ones that follow are to do with improving your health, trying to get rid of that stubborn belly fat or whatever it is. These are the resolutions that people have made, and of course many of those resolutions are not bad in themselves. I want to say that all of those resolutions would have been made by people who wanted to improve themselves, whether their circumstances or something to do with themselves in their bodies. But I suspect that very few of those resolutions would have been what I'm going to call spiritual resolutions. Spiritual resolutions. Resolutions that would have impacted or improved, as it were, their soul. I say few because perhaps there would have been some Christians across the world somewhere that made a spiritual resolution. Perhaps you, as it turned midnight or before that, if you weren't staying up to that late, made a spiritual resolutions or a series of spiritual resolutions on the brink of the new year. If you did that, you would be in good company. A man called Jonathan Edwards, who was one of the great theologians of America, he made spiritual resolutions. He made 70 of them. Young people, you can read them later on if you want. 70 resolutions. I don't know if he made them at the start of the year, but he made 70 resolutions, and he sought to keep to those through his life. And here is one of them on Scripture. Resolved. That's how he began his resolutions. To study the Scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently, as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. That's a good resolution, isn't it? To study the Scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently, as I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. And I wonder if Jonathan Edwards, all those years ago, was influenced by the text that is before us. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I want to say this morning that we should make this verse our resolution for this year and for the rest of our lives. To desire the pure milk of the word. One of the things about resolutions is that they are made voluntarily and they're optional. That's why so many people give them up after a few days or a few weeks, because they're not obliged to keep them. They make them themselves. But the difference about this is that it is in the form of a command. It is a conditional command, but it is a command that Peter under the Holy Spirit makes. That word desire is in the form of a command. He is commanding you, commanding me under the Holy Spirit to desire the pure milk of the word. It's not optional. It's not voluntary. This resolution, as it were, is something to be commanded, and it is not to be broken. Now, we have to ask ourselves the question, why did Peter write this? Why did Peter write, "Desire the pure milk of the word"? Well, we see this in the second half of the verse. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. He desired that they would grow. When we talk about grow, we talk about growing spiritually. Growing spiritually. They had been born again, as it tells us in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They had been born again, but they needed to grow. I've said before that when someone is born again, they become a spiritual baby. They need to grow, and it doesn't happen in a vacuum. Now, I have not met a Christian who does not want to grow, and I'm confident that I won't find one. Every Christian wants to grow spiritually, don't they? They're not content with the spiritual state that they are in. And so how good it is this morning to be reminded that there is a way to grow as a Christian. That if we desire the pure milk of the word, you may grow thereby. Not a. It may happen. You will do it. Do you want to grow as a Christian this year and into the future? Do you want to be more useful as a Christian to your families, to your friends, and to the church and in society? Well, let us consider this morning how we can grow as Christians by considering this important verse this morning. So if we are to grow spiritually as Christians, then we are to desire the pure milk of the word. Peter writes, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If you want to grow as a Christian, then you have to be exposed regularly to the pure milk of the word. Now, perhaps you're hearing this for the first time and you're wondering, what is this pure milk of the word? What is the word? That's an important question to ask. What is the word that we are to desire? Well, the word that we are to desire is the word of God, the Bible, and all the doctrines that are contained within that. That is the pure word that we are to desire. Now, why is this word called milk? Do you notice it's called the milk? In fact, the pure milk of the word. Why is it called milk here? Sometimes the Bible refers to itself as different things, as bread, as a lamp. Why is it in this place called milk? Well, it's called milk in the context, you'll see there at the beginning of verse 2, of mentioning newborn babes. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. What Peter is doing here is calling it milk to remind us of its spiritually nourishing character. The word of God to the Christian is spiritually nourishing, just as milk is to newborn babies. What Peter is saying here in this very helpful analogy is that just as the milk of a mother nourishes the physical life of her baby, so the word of God nourishes the life, the spiritual life of a believer. You know, if you don't know this already, you can look at websites and things. The milk of a mother is incredible. It provides all the nutrients that newborn baby will need for it to grow and to develop. It's full of all kinds of nutrients and vitamins, and I'll not go into the detail of it, but it's incredible how God has so ordained that. And similarly, the Word of God has everything that you and I need to grow spiritually. It provides all the spiritual nourishment that we are to live and grow. That is why it is called milk here. It's in the context of being newborn babes. How is this book, the Bible, so nourishing? Well, it's because it's like a book that's never been written. The Bible is both a life-giving word and a life-sustaining word. The milk of the mother sustains that newborn baby. And the Word of God, the Bible, sustains Christians. Those believers there in Peter's day and us began our spiritual life through the Word of God. But we continue through it. Our life is sustained by it. This is what Peter says in verse 22 and following. Verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. In other words, they've been born again by the word of God. He goes on to say in verse 2, therefore laying aside all malice, etc., as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The word of God gives life, and the word of God sustains spiritual life. And that's because the Bible is our only source of spiritual life. Someone has called it food for the soul. You know, that phrase is bandied about. False religions use that. But this is true food for the soul, the Word of God. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, the Apostle Paul, 2, verse 16, the Apostle Paul calls it the Word of Life. It is the very Word of Life, the Bible that we have in our hands. It is living and active. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, the Word of God is living and active. When we pick up this Bible to read it, it does something to us. Paul writes to the Thessalonians of the Word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. This is a book like no other. We can read a history book, we can read a maths textbook, and it can help us in some ways. But the Word of God is living and active. It changes us. It is the power to convert someone, and it is the power to continually change us as we feed upon it by faith. The Word of God is living and active. The psalmist writes in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting and restoring the soul. There is no other book like this in the world. Through it, Christians grow. Mysteriously, yes. But absolutely, it does. And therefore, exposure to the Word of God is essential. Just as it is essential for the life and health of a baby when it receives that milk. You can imagine, you don't really want to go there in your mind, of starving that newborn baby of milk, just the effect it would have. And the effect that it similarly has if we starve ourselves of the Word of God. We're not going to prosper. And that's why Peter says here that we should desire it. We should desire it as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that we may grow therefore. As I said earlier, that word desire is actually in the form of command. In other words, Peter is not expecting any other response here than obedience. It's not optional. And if you want to know more about that word desire, it's a very strong word. It means to desire greatly. It means to greatly long after. It can even mean intensely crave possession of. You can see how the English doesn't quite capture it. Desire is a strong word. But what Peter is saying here is not that we have a half-hearted inclination to the Word of God, but that we are greatly longing after it, that we are intensely craving it. It is that kind of desire that Peter is saying that we should have for the Word of God. This is why Peter uses the analogy of newborn babies desiring milk. Because if there's anything that newborn babies crave. It is milk. I don't know if you've had babies yourself or you've seen babies. They desire milk greatly. They intensely crave it, don't they? Parents of a newborn baby will know that there are many times when a newborn baby will crave milk. Notice it's newborn babes here. It's not infants here. They've weaned themselves off milk at some point. Newborn babies, that's all they want. And parents know, I'm sure, about trying to calm a baby who ultimately wants milk, that it's useless. You put the dummy in the mouth, you start rocking it backwards and forwards, or whatever you do, that baby will scream the house down until it gets the milk. Perhaps you've seen that or experienced it. And Peter is saying it's that kind of urgency that Christians should have for the Word of God. Intensely craving, nothing will stand in the way. I'm going to, as it were, scream down the house that I may get my hands on the Word of God. It is that intense craving that Peter is saying that we should have for the Word of God. Like that newborn baby, only desiring milk. Only the milk will do. Nothing else will satisfy. And so as we seek to move to further application, I'll just ask a few questions to you and to me, ultimately. Do you desire the milk of the Word? Do you desire it to the degree of a newborn baby desiring milk? Are you restless in your soul until you feed on the milk of the Word each day and at Sundays at church? Do you greatly desire it? Do you intensely crave it? Do you do everything in your power to ensure that you feed on the Word? Can you say with the psalmist in Psalm 1 that your delight is in the law of the Lord, and that in His law you meditate on it day and night? Can you say with the psalmist in Psalm 19, says that the Word of God is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb? Can we say with Job in Job 23, I have treasured the words of His mouth, in other words, the Word of God, more than my necessary food? I suspect that we're not where we want to be, and it will be for a number of reasons. First, it may be that we do not appreciate our need for spiritual food, daily spiritual food. You know, if we go back to that, as it were, analogy of the resolutions that I used at the beginning, there are many people who, after a while, give up on that resolution because they don't see the need to do it anymore. I share a personal story. Not long after I became a Christian, having grown up in the church and been in a Christian family, I had this foolish notion that I didn't have to read the Bible for quite some time. It was ridiculous, really. I thought I knew it all. I'd heard the Sunday school. I'd been under faithful preaching by the grace of God. And for quite some time, the Bible sat on the shelf. I've just been honest with you this morning. That's not how we grow as Christians. That was such a foolish thought that I had. And I wish I could get that time back. You know, people go on diets, don't they, to try and lose weight. I'm not passing any judgment on these things. But a spiritual diet never works. A spiritual diet never works. We can try to starve ourselves of the Bible in the hope that somehow we would prosper. It's not going to work. Spiritual growth will lead us to be severely stunted. If we're not reading the scriptures or attending church regularly, then we will not grow much. We will remain a spiritual infant. Rather, we must appreciate our need for the daily spiritual food. No parent on earth would let a day go by without feeding the newborn child. And yet we, don't we? We miss days of reading the Bible. We find it difficult to come to church sometimes. And our spiritual condition will suffer if we don't appreciate the need for our spiritual food. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need the word of God. It is our spiritual life and vitality. It spiritually nourishes us, and we will only grow by feeding on it. I know there are times where God uses difficult providences, and we learn then, and perhaps there are other ways in which we learn, but the primary way of growing as a Christian is by feeding on the word of God daily. So we must recognize our need and our continual need that the Bible is both the source and the sustenance for our spiritual life. And then secondly, we must recognize the worth of the word of God, or remind ourselves of the worth of the word of God. And again, if we think about that resolution analogy, there are many people who give up their resolution because they don't appreciate the worth of what they're doing. They set out well, but they realize it's not worth doing. But I don't need you to, you don't need me to remind you, there's so much worth in the scriptures. There's so much worth. It is the way in which we know about God and of salvation. And even if you take it on a very common level of knowing how to be a better father or a better person at work, on that very shallow understanding, there's much worth in the Bible. If we want to simply live a Christian life, the Bible is a book like no other. But a more profound level, in the Word of God, we have much worth. It reminds us of the great promises of God. It teaches us of the great salvation that we have, of matters of eternity, of important matters. It is a book of worth. The Bible says of itself that it is given by inspiration of God. It is written by God. Let us remember that. And is profitable for doctrine, reproof, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God has much worth, and we neglect it to our peril. But I want to say something to you this morning, thirdly, that perhaps it's none of these things. Perhaps you actually do desire to be in the Word of God daily, but you find it difficult. And that can be a real issue, and it can be a true thing that we come to parts of Scripture where it's difficult for us to understand. Even the great theologians recognize that. There are parts of Scripture which are difficult, but don't let that put you off persevering. Ask one of the elders. Get a good, faithful commentary. You know, the thing about resolutions is, are you not amazed at the depths that people go to, or the heights, whatever it is, to ensure that they fulfill that resolution? You know, they jump into ice cold water, or they beat themselves up in the gym, or they, whatever it is, they do so much to ensure that resolution they have set out to do is fulfilled. And we admire that, don't we? We admire that when people do that. But how often we give up at the first spiritual hurdle. Don't let difficulty get in the way of your spiritual growth. It is often through difficulty that we grow. So persevere and reap the rewards spiritually. You know, some people say that their life is too busy. That's not a good excuse. We'll probably have more time than we've ever had in our lives with all the helps that we have in this world. That's not an excuse to not read the Word of God. But it may be this morning that you're not a Christian and that you don't like the Bible at all. You never have. You may be forced to listen to it in family worship, or you're dragged along to church by your family and you've never liked it. It's odious to you. You've got an intolerance to it. And that's because you're not a Christian. The Word of God has not met you and changed you. God has not changed you by His Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is dead to you. It may even be odious to you. But I want to say this morning, don't believe the lies that your friends are telling you. They say that it's irrelevant. It's an ancient book that has no use for you. The Bible is the most relevant book that's ever been written. It speaks about the important things of life. People judge this book without having read a sentence of it. And they ignore it for the rest of their lives to their peril. Don't be one of those. In this book we have the most important news that you will need to hear. Far from being irrelevant, it is the most relevant book to you. So if you're a teenager here or a young person and you're not sure if you're a Christian and you're listening to your friends, why don't you do something countercultural? It's very unpopular to read the Bible these days. Do it. Stand out from the crowd and read it and pray that the Lord would open your eyes to believe the wonderful truths in the Bible. And as we draw things to a close here, I want to say that may you and I resolve, like Jonathan Edwards, like Christians of old, to desire the milk of the Word. You will not regret it. Some people set out to do resolutions and they regret it. You will not regret this resolution. Our spiritual diet is so important. I think there's a film out there. I've never seen it. I just saw the title. You Are What You Eat. Okay? So if it's a terrible film, I apologize. You are what you eat, and you are what you eat spiritually. Okay? There's no ways around it. The only way that you will grow spiritually is if you feed on the Word of God. We spiritually starve ourselves by neglecting the milk of the Word, whether it be our daily readings or our Sunday worship services or our Wednesday midweek meetings, whatever it may be. We will be stunted in our growth spiritually. And that's a very sad thing, to be a spiritual infant, to be full and healthy physically, going to the gym, knowing all kinds of other things, but actually being a spiritual infant inside. That's a sad case. That's a sad case, especially when there are so many opportunities to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may we instead be given grace. Pray with me that we be given grace to desire the milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. That we, as it says in Ephesians 4, may grow to perfect men and women in Christ. Amen.